In other sports news, New Balance, the Boston-based shoe company, is finding itself in a bit of legal trouble. A lawsuit filed Monday accuses the sneaker maker of false advertising when it comes to its popular toning shoe. Those are those super cushioned sneakers with the rounded-looking sole. Well, joining us now to tell us a little bit more about the lawsuit is Boston Globe business reporter Jen Abelson. Hi there, Jen.
Hi, how are you doing?
So, Jen, this lawsuit filed on Monday in U.S. District Court in Boston was actually brought by a California woman, but what is it claiming?
Sure, the lawsuit is claiming that New Balance deceived consumers by claiming that its popular toning shoes created more sculpted legs than traditional walking sneakers. It made a number of claims in its marketing that they would increase muscle activation, burn more calories, and sort of result in a better, more toned body.
New Balance is not the only company in this suit, but can you tell us a little bit about how important the toning shoe is to New Balance?
The toning shoe is hugely important to New Balance. They launched a multi-million dollar campaign last year. They have at least, I think, 8 different models of it. And it's among, for New Balance and for many of the other sneaker companies, it's one of the most successful segments of shoes in years. It grew fivefold last year. It was supposed to hit $1.5 billion. It's the fastest growing segment. And the best part about this business is that many of the shoes are sold at full price and cost roughly $100 a pair.
Well, I should also say that Canton-based Reebok has been claimed in this lawsuit as well. But what is New Balance saying about all this? We contacted them but didn't receive a response from them in time for broadcast, but they have talked to you.
New Balance said that they had not yet received a copy of the lawsuit or reviewed the claims, but they said that we stand firmly behind the quality and performance of our products as we have for more than 100 years.
Wow. So these toning shoes actually, just to put a number on what you were saying, $1.5 billion amongst all companies selling them. So a huge new market there. Jen Abelson, business reporter for the Boston Globe, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Bystra Pashimova, she's the California woman suing New Balance, and she accuses the company of false advertising when it comes to those toning shoes, calling the company's promises nothing more than deceptive marketing tools. She also cited evidence from a study released last summer by the nonprofit American Council on Exercise. And in that study, a group of researchers from the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse, they looked at 4 pairs of shoes, 3 toning and 1 regular pair, to figure out whether the toning shoes lived up to manufacturers' promises. They did not test the New Balance shoe named in Monday's lawsuit. But earlier today, we spoke to one of the researchers in that study, the physical therapy professor John Greeny at the Department of Health Professions at the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse. And before we got into the details of the study, I asked Professor Greeny to really cut to the chase and whether or not all these kinds of shoes are actually better than regular shoes.
We found that there were no differences between those 4 shoes in any of 6 muscle groups that we evaluated.
So no difference between toning shoes and regular athletic shoes?
Correct. The different shoes that we evaluated were Skechers Shape-Ups, the MBT Maasai Barefoot shoe, and the Reebok Easy Tone shoe. There were no differences in between shoes for various speeds or various muscle groups.
And so how did you measure that?
We applied electrodes to various muscle groups on 12 women between the ages of 21 to 27 who were physically active. They were randomly assigned different shoes. They walked for a period of time, and we looked at how much their muscles were contracting while they were walking, or how much electrical activity did the muscle have while they were walking for a period of about 5 minutes. And we found there were no differences in muscle activation between the different shoes.
So when we, as consumers read claims by, say, Reebok with their Easy Tone shoes, and they say it's the shoe proven to work your hamstrings and calves up to 11% harder and tones your butt up to 28% more than regular sneakers just by walking, what do you make of those kind of claims that are coming out of some of these shoe manufacturers?
These are in-house studies, and typically they're looking at just a few individuals, and they're looking at just the difference themselves between one pair of shoes versus another. Where our study looked at a group of individuals, so a larger sample size than typically the studies done by the shoe company.
As a physical therapist, do these shoes even make sense to you in terms of how the human body works?
Yes, and I think that's a good question to clarify. I've chatted with clients and patients who utilize these shoes and indicate significant comfort by using the shoe, and that is not what we're saying from the study at all. It's anything that we would recommend individuals not to use them, we were just evaluating the claims that the various manufacturers were using. So if I had a family member who found that one of these shoes was more comfortable and decreased their symptoms walking, I would not recommend them not to do it. What I would clarify is that they would not be doing any additional toning or experiencing any additional exercise because of it.
Well, John Greeny with the Department of Health Professions and the Program of Physical Therapy at the University of Wisconsin at La Crosse, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So researchers say they don't see any statistical differences when it comes to these shoes, but what are doctors seeing? Joining us now is Dr. Frank Santopietro. He's a Brookline podiatrist who also worked as the Patriots podiatrist for 30 years. Now he's working with the Tennessee Titans. Dr. Santopietro, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
So I guess, first of all, what do you make of these toning, so-called toning shoes?
Well, the toning shoes are a shoe that really is not that new. Basically, the MBT shoe has been out for several years, and we have seen problems with those shoes relative to the fact that these shoes function as negative heel shoes, like the old Earth shoes. And if you sometimes watch people walk with these shoes, you'll find that they're falling off the shoe. They're pronating a little bit more, sometimes significantly more, and that was true of the Earth shoe as well. In other words, a lower heel shoe in the back, a shoe that's lower in the back than in the front.
And that leads to a lack of support, I understand. But what kind of injuries can result from that?
You can see Achilles tendon injuries, strains of the Achilles. You can see that both at the insertion of the Achilles at the heel and even in the origin of the muscle behind the knee. You can also see injuries along the tibialis posterior tendon, because what it does is it forces the foot to flatten out more. So you can see all kinds of injuries relative to the medial aspect of the foot.
So what do you tell your patients when they come in and tell you, hey, I'm interested in using one of these types of toning shoes or other shoes that make that claim to help with your feet and musculature?
We discourage the use of them. We have lots of people that have come in with these shoes. And basically, we are in favor of a shoe with a heel as opposed to a positive heel as opposed to a negative heel. Now, the interesting thing about the shoes, all these shoes have rocker bottom soles. Rocker bottom soles in and of themselves are actually pretty good. The problem with these shoes is that they have an excessive degree of flexibility in the heel, which forces the heel backwards. So it forces the leg to go into a hyperextended position, creating sometimes significant problems with the Achilles and the medial side of the foot tendons.
Dr. Frank Santopietro, Brookline podiatrist, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And before we go, we want to turn briefly to the death of a member of a very well-known Iranian family who lived for years in relative obscurity in Boston. Alireza Pahlavi, the youngest son of the former Shah of Iran, was found dead in his South End apartment yesterday of a reportedly self-inflicted gunshot wound. Pahlavi was 44 years old and the second to die of four siblings. And their father, Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, fled Iran during the 1979 Islamic Revolution. He is the Shah of Iran. The eldest son, former Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi, held a press conference in Boston today. And WBUR's Bianca Vazquez-Tonas was there, and she joins us now. So, Bianca, how is the family reacting to this news?
They're very distraught. The former Crown Prince broke up into tears while he was delivering this prepared speech, and they asked for a lot of privacy.
I mean, did he tell us, or can you tell us anything more about who his brother, Alireza Pahlavi, was?
Well, he was a scholar. He came here in 1993 to do a doctorate at Harvard, but it doesn't seem like he finished. In fact, we know that he didn't finish, but it's not clear if he hung around Boston that entire time until now or what exactly he did with his life. But it is clear that he was depressed, according to his brother. The former Crown Prince says that, you know, thinking about it now, he thinks the fact that he was so young, his younger brother, was 12 when the revolution happened, and he thinks that the trauma of that has compounded over the years and something that he never recovered from.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Iranian Revolution, and obviously there is much going on politically in Iran right now. So did Pahlavi have anything to say about the current political situation in his country?
He wouldn't talk about that. He said it's not the time or place, but he said that he is doing everything he can to bring about freedom and democracy in Iran.
WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
Hey, so one last thing really this time before we go. I mean, I showed up for work today, and that's obviously because I did not win the eye-popping $380 million prize in the Mega Millions lottery. But as we know, two winning tickets were sold, one in Idaho and the other in Washington State. And we've heard before people pooling money and buying dozens of tickets and winning that way. But two different tickets winning? That just seems so rare. So mathematicians out there, help me out here. You have a 1 in 175 million chance of picking six winning lottery numbers. What's the chance that two individual tickets could be sold? Two individual winning tickets. I want to know. Let me know at WBUR.org/Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.